ways. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Here in Romans chapter number 1, I want to look back at verse 25. The Bible says, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause, God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise, also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And this passage of Scripture is describing for us why someone is a homosexual. Why someone is a homosexual. And really the title of my sermon is coming from this. The title of my sermon is, why is someone a homosexual? And I think that's a question that virtually everyone asks at some point in their life. I know being young and being in middle school or in high school, I constantly wondered, why is someone a homosexual? It doesn't really make any sense. It seems so gross and it seems so awful, and I just can't see why someone would ever want to do something like that. It just makes no sense to me. And so there's floated out there a lot of ideas as to why someone is homosexual. People are perplexed. It's kind of an issue that's a major issue when it comes to our society. A lot of people put forth their agenda based on the understanding of this question specifically, of why. And I think when we look at what the Scripture says, we're going to give it a really clear understanding, and we can debunk a lot of the lies that are coming from Hollywood, the news media, and other places on this particular subject, because I believe that the Bible gives you the answer to every question of this life. There's not a topic, there's not a subject, there's not an event, there's not anything that you couldn't find the principles or the explanation in the Bible. The Bible is replete on all topics. Right. It'll tell you exactly when the world began. Yep. It'll tell you when it's going to end. Good. It'll tell you everything God created. It'll tell you every reason why God created all the things that He created, and all of their capabilities, all of their limitations. Everything we see in the Scripture perfectly lines up with science, reason, truth, facts, anything and everything that you could possibly want to ask. The Bible has the answer. So if I were to say, man, I just don't understand this phenomena I see in the world today. I don't understand how men are attracted to men and women are attracted to women. This doesn't really make any sense to me. The Bible has that answer. And in fact, the Bible's real explicit here, because it's defining for us a group of people, women being attracted to the women and men being attracted to the men. And I like that, you know, it's not using real graphic language here, because it's so disgusting and depraved that we don't even really want to know the details. We're just kind of saying men with men or women with women. And that's kind of how the Bible describes it, because it doesn't want to get real graphic, because the Bible's pure and it's holy. And even though it talks about gross topics, it still uses pure language to describe those events. Now, point one of the sermon is this. Why is someone homosexual? It's because they hate God. It is because they hate God. And when I say God, I'm not just saying like the idea of a God or just some abstract religion. I'm saying the real true God in heaven, they abhor Him. They despise the real God. Now you say, well, how do they despise the real God? Well, the Bible says in John chapter number 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So welcome to God.
Amen.
The King James Bible is God.
Amen.
And you know what these people hate? This book. Now, they'll take other Bibles and they'll pervert them and twist them and they'll change everything in them, and then they'll claim that they like that. But here's the thing, that's a fake God. That's a false God. In fact, there is a version of the Bible called the Queen Bee Version. Who's heard of this? Okay, a couple people have heard of this. They basically took a King James Bible, and they took all the passages in the Bible that basically describe how disgusting and filthy homosexuality is, and they twisted it and changed it to something else.
Wow.
So they just basically take Genesis 19 and Leviticus 20:13 and Romans 1 and Jude 1 and 2 Peter and just like anything and everything. But other than that, it's literally a King James Bible. I mean, you look at it, I've read scores of it just to kind of just see what was the difference. And I mean, you could open it up and it's got all kinds of stuff in there that's exactly King James Bible, but it's just those passages specifically are all twisted. They're all changed and they all say something completely different. You know, there's a real agenda out there to change who Jesus is and who God is so that they can disguise the fact that they hate God. But the clear fact of the Bible and the clear fact of reality is that they hate God. Look at verse 28. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. You know, they don't like God so much that they had to change the Bible just so they would forget what he actually said about them. That's what that's saying. It's saying they hate God so much that they just want to figure out how to stop thinking about him, but it's just impossible. So it just drives them insane. But any attempt that they can do to try and silence God in their minds, they will do. What will be an attempt? I don't know. How about shut down a church that's preaching the Bible? How about getting rid of the Bible? How about getting the Ten Commandments out of public school? How about just de-Christianizing our entire nation? Because they don't want to retain God and the knowledge. So every time they see a Bible, every time they see a Christian, every time they hear the Word of God, it just irks them, it bothers them so much, and they just want to destroy that, attack that, go against it, because according to Scripture, they hate God. That's the whole reason they are a homosexual. Remember, point one of why someone is homosexual, it's because of their hatred for God. Now, it even says this explicitly in our passage here. Look at verse 30 for a moment. And again, this is all the attributes of these people. It says that they're backbiters, but notice it clearly just says haters of God. Now, again, there's a lot of bad interpretations of Romans chapter 1 where they really just don't consider the context, or they just twist it, or they're using a bad version. But it's very clear that this group that's being described here is not a normal group. It's not every single person. You know, the Calvinists out there will get up and say, oh, we're all guilty of Romans 1. You know, I'm not. I'm not men with men. I'm not. My wife's not women with women. I don't hate God. There's never been a time in my life where I hate God. There's been times where I've broken his commandments. There's been times where I've fallen short. There's been times where I don't live up to what God would have me to be as a person. In fact, that's every day, frankly speaking. We fall short every single day. But you know what? There was never a day where I said, you know what? I just hate God. That's never happened. And I guarantee 99% of the people in this room have probably never even had a single moment of their life where they hated God. Okay? And if you did, for some reason, you had a bad thought or you had a bad day, you know, okay. But, you know, these people are just permanently in hatred towards God. They just always hate God. Everything about God irks them and bothers them. And they are just a pure hater of God. That's why it even said in verse 25 that they changed the truth of God into a lie. Because they have to pervert who God is because of how much it bothers them and it just irks them. And so they change whoever God is into some kind of a lie. And really, it kind of helps me to understand that there's kind of like two versions of this person. When you hate God so much, you basically manifest yourself into two ways. Way one, you show up at a really biblical church and you protest. Yeah. Right? I mean, doesn't that show a pretty clear hatred towards God? Yep. It's so funny that these people claim that we're hateful, and it's like, y'all are real hateful. Okay, y'all really hate the King James Bible. You really hate it when people get up and preach the Bible. You really hate Jesus and God. I mean, some of the signs from people that have protested our church, they're not even hiding how they feel. They're saying expletive the Bible, expletive God. They're calling Jesus blasphemous names and blasphemous things. You know, that has nothing to do with me as a person. You know, if you didn't like me, if you didn't like our church specifically, you wouldn't put signs out that say negative things about Jesus and the Bible and the Word of God. You would just put them about me. You just put them about, you know, I don't like Jonathan Shelley for this reason or that reason. You know, I like ranch dressing and he's a blasphemer against ranch dressing. You know, we put beans in our chili and, you know, I mean, whatever things you could dislike about me. You know, baseball is the coolest sport. Don't listen to Pastor Shelley. You know, I love NASCAR. It's like, you know, and that would be kind of lame if people were out there championing ranch dressing and NASCAR and whatever. So What they do is they show on their sign, I hate Jesus, and I hate the Bible, and I hate God, and, you know, your Jesus is a bad Jesus or whatever. You know, my Jesus isn't a bad Jesus. My Jesus is the real Jesus.
Right.
There's only one.
Amen.
So the first manifestation of someone that hates God is going to be someone that's just outspoken, public, just on display. I hate the God of the Bible. I hate the King James Bible. I hate John 3:16. You know, they're just really the most truthful of the reprobates, honestly. Because they're just saying, this is how I hate him. And it's typically people that have been at the game for a while. You know, it's people that have been reprobate for a long time. They've already gone through the gamut. You know, one of the people that protested our church for 2 years, he seemed like a normal person just from outward appearance. And so I went and approached him. This is like a few years ago. I approached the individual and I said, hey, why are you protesting us? Are you like a homosexual? He's like, oh, no, I'm not. You know, it's like, okay. And he's like, oh, I'm a former Baptist preacher. And I said, okay, what do you mean? And he's like, yeah, I was a Southern Baptist pastor for 20 years. And he's like, and now I'm an atheist. And then he just started like, just basically just saying the most evil things I've ever heard about the Bible. He was telling me how Moses was this awful person and the scripture was trash and how he hated the Jesus of the Bible. And I'm just like, wow, that guy is not, you know, a reprobate 5 minutes ago. This guy's been a reprobate for a long time. And of course, you know, it also manifests itself. Being a reprobate doesn't just have to be a homosexual. It could also be essentially just a false prophet or a false teacher. There's other manifestations of that. But it's interesting that the same person that hates God for a completely different reason is joined up with this group protesting our church because they both have something in common. They hate God. They hate Jesus. They hate the Word of God. Why would someone that's not even homosexual protest a church with a bunch of homosexuals? It's because they both share one common theme. They both hate God. Okay, they despise Him. So typically the person that's just that outspoken, that forward, that clear about their intentions, they have been doing this for a long time. They are super depraved, very wicked. You know, look at verse number 29, being, right? When something starts being filled, it doesn't have a lot necessarily. But after a long time, it gets more full and more full and more full. So essentially, these people are the people that have been, they're really full. They're like overflowing with all of these attributes that are mentioned here on Romans 1 chapter list. So they're very dangerous individuals. They're capable of all manner of evil, murder, as the Bible describes. They're proud. I mean, I don't know if that describes this group, huh? Just full of debate. And so again, when you look at this list, if I said, hey, there's someone coming over to your house that has these attributes, you wouldn't want to let them in. That's why you shouldn't be around these individuals, and you shouldn't discourse with them because they'll lie to you. They just want to debate you. They just want to provoke you. They want to just do all manner of evil. It's best to ignore these people because they become trash. They become human trash. You know, some people become unredeemable. The Bible calls them twice dead, meaning that they're not just dead spiritually one time. They are reprobate, so it's a twice dead, as the Bible describes in Jude, meaning that they're unredeemable, they're unsalvageable. You know, there's some things that become trash, and you're never going to redeem it. Now, I sometimes redeem trash. You know, some things like plastics and sometimes paper. You know, the post office always drops off these stupid mailers in my post box. You know, you get the newspaper ads. But, you know, it's literally just trash. I almost always throw it away, but I started keeping it because who does charcoal grilling? Okay, some of y'all need to get saved. Charcoal grilling is the best way to cook a steak, all right? I'm just being honest with you. Now, if you do charcoal grilling, I'm going to teach you guys. You get a chimney starter. Is a kind of this device. It's a cylinder, and it's just hollow, basically. It has a little cage at the bottom. You put all the charcoal in it, but at the bottom has a little bit of a space, and you can put newspaper or just paper under there, and you light that on fire, and it'll just light all your coals perfectly. And it's just real even. It's really fast. And then you could dump your coals into your grill, and then you can start grilling. So basically, it's just an easy way to light a charcoal grill. It's super easy. It's safer, and it's way faster. Plus, you don't have to use any kind of liquid. You don't have to use starter fluid or anything like that. Some people don't like the chemicals associated with the starter fluid. or anything like that. So you can just take old newspaper or just any kind and just put it under there, just light it, and just perfect. So it's like this is redeemable trash in the sense that even though I have no real use for it, like I'm not going to read it, I don't care about it, it's like great. It's like the absolute perfect item to do charcoal grilling, and then I can grill a steak. Okay, so this is what I call redeemable trash. Unredeemable trash. I had a trash can in my backyard this week, and for some reason one of the kids knocked the lid off or something, so it had rained. And then all that rain got in there, and then it formed sewage. And boy, was that unredeemable. Okay, it reeked so bad, and it took a while to get rid of all of that. But anything that was found in that trash can was never going to be pulled back out and used again for anything. It was just like wrap it up, triple, three times, put it on the curb, you know, for the trash pickup or whatever. It's unredeemable. And the same can happen with people where people just get so foul and so disgusting, like there's no redeeming of them. When someone hates God so much in their heart that they will never believe in Jesus, they will never believe on the Lord Jesus and be saved, then they're unredeemable at that point. It's essentially there's one cure to this world. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's believing on Jesus and being saved. But someone who dies and goes to hell, they've lost that chance. They are now sewage. They're in the sewage, okay? But some people don't realize that you can be like that before you die physically. And yes, some of you bring up to me, oh, what about the guy on the cross? Yeah, you could literally get saved 5 seconds before you die. There's nothing that says in the Bible you couldn't basically just get redeemed in the last 5 seconds of your life. But there are people that still have 50 years left of their life and they're never going to get saved because the Bible clearly described them as being reprobate. And God gave them over to it. And God is not allowing them to be saved. Why? Because God doesn't like people walking around screaming blasphemous things about him. God doesn't like someone saying, I hate God and I despise the Lord and I don't want to believe him. He doesn't like that. So he tolerates it for a while, but eventually, knowing the future, he can look at someone and say, you're never going to believe in me. I can already tell. I just already know. You know, isn't there sometimes you meet someone and you can just tell they don't like you and they never will? You know, this is how I felt when I met Ranch Dressing. I was like, I've met you and I know I'm never going to like you, okay? I've already had that encounter. You know, Indian food, I've already met you and I've already decided I'm not willing to try it, okay? Now, these analogies aren't perfect because if I was starving, I would eat Indian food, okay? But I've already met something and I already know I'm not going to enjoy it though, okay? So when you're starving, you'll eat things that you don't even enjoy, like ranch dressing, like Indian food, these type of lower quality items. Boiled chicken. It's like chicken's good, but then you boiled it. You know, an unseasoned boiled chicken breast, it's like, what? It's just like soggy, and it's just like, what is this? You know, that's not something you would want to eat. But if you were starving, you'd be like, I can't wait to eat that. You know, people in Africa might think that that's the greatest thing ever. You know, and you can tell people have a good palate by what they don't eat, not necessarily by what they do eat, okay? Some people eat anything. This is like a dog or a goat. You know, these are type of animals that eat anything. But, you know, the ones that are picky, these are the ones that actually have a good palate, okay? And these reprobates are kind of similar to these animals in the fact that they'll do anything. They'll eat anything. They'll do stuff that's so gross and vile to you. You know, it always shocked me when I would watch certain shows in the past. There's a show called Fear Factor. Who knows what I'm talking about? Fear Factor. So there's this show, wasn't Joe Rogan on that?
Yes.
Am I right? Okay. I think Joe Rogan was a host at one point in time. But they basically will just ask these people to do either crazy, dangerous stunts or often eat something or do something that's very gross. And I remember you'd watch people just do this and it would be mind-boggling. You'd think like, how did people even do this? But now I've realized most of those people are probably reprobate. And so it wasn't even hard for them to do it because they do all kinds of weird, disgusting things that are even worse than what was on the show. Okay? So it's like they're eating something gross or doing something gross. You know, if someone is capable of eating vomit or eating, you know, excrement or doing all these kind of weird, gross things, you should be afraid of that person. Because Because it's not like, oh, you're super manly or you're super strong or you're super cool. It's actually, there's something wrong with you in the brain, okay? Just like there's something just off about this individual. They don't understand something. Just like if you couldn't experience pain. That's not cool. That's dangerous. You know, if you can't experience pain, you will hurt yourself. You would slam your hand into a car door. You might touch fire and burn yourself. And, of course, people that did this in the Bible, they would say they're lunatic. They would say, oh, man, this person is possessed with devils, or they're throwing themselves in the fire, or they're trying to drown themselves. Why? Because you think there's something not right about this person. There's something off about this person. So someone that's willing to do these type of activities, it's possibly a signal of the fact that they hate God. But the person that's doing these activities here in Romans chapter number 1, let me make it clear, it's because they hate God, because a normal man will never, ever, ever desire that. Ever. Exactly. It's so gross. It's literally the worst thing. If you said, hey, Pastor Shelley, you're going to have to eat Indian food and ranch dressing every day of your life or do that one time, it's like, bring on the Indian food. What if you had to eat the Indian food and ranch and then vomit it up and then eat it again or do that one time? It's like, bring on the vomit. There is nothing worse. There is nothing more undesirable than such a thing. And no man that's straight would ever willingly participate in such an activity. Never. Right. They would never desire it. They would never want it. They would never be. It's so disgusting and depraved and wicked. Okay? There's nothing cool about it. There's nothing fun about it. Whereas every other sin, virtually, there's a handful of unnatural sins, but every other sin is enticing. You're tempted to do these things. You know, a man is tempted to commit adultery with an attractive woman. A woman who forms a relationship with a man that's very attractive and giving her a lot of special attention would be tempted to commit adultery with that individual. You know, there's a lot of people that are tempted to drink alcohol. There's a lot of people that are tempted to lie. You know, when you get caught doing something wrong, it's really easy for you to want to lie about that. It wasn't hard. It wasn't difficult. You want to. It's hard to tell the truth sometimes when it's an uncomfortable truth. You know, there's all manner of sin that's really easy to do. In fact, people are doing it all the time. But that sin is not a sin that's easy to do. In fact, it's impossible to do unless you become reprobate. And the only way to get there is because you hate God. This is why someone is a homosexual. Why is someone homosexual? Because they hate God. Now, I'm going to move on from this point because all the other verses I'm going to bring up this morning are going to really just continually hammer that point. But show me a place in the Bible, one time, where anybody is a homosexual and they love God or get saved. Show it to me. I mean, I've read the Bible cover to cover dozens of times. I mean, you want to show me the place that I missed? Because I've never seen it. Everybody that I know that actually is a scholar of the Bible has never seen it. Is that a coincidence? Is it a coincidence that you can't find anybody with that sin loving God, getting saved, being redeemed? No, it's not a coincidence. It's a fact. It's a fact because it's incompatible. You can't hate God and believe on Jesus Christ at the same time. These are impossible reactions. Just like I can't love you and hate you at the same time. If I truly love you, then I wouldn't hate you. And if I truly hate you, I won't love you. Okay? Now, of course, to be saved, you don't necessarily have to love God perfectly and you don't have to follow all the commandments. You simply believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. But if you don't even retain God in your knowledge, how are you going to be believing and trusting on Jesus Christ to save you when you hate him and abhor him and don't even want to think about him one time? So some people will say, oh, so you think that homosexuality is the unforgivable sin? No, that's blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. Oh, so you think that it's worse than every other sin? Well, yeah, probably. Well, you think that someone committed that sin and now they're going to go to hell. Well, frankly speaking, all sin will send you to hell. People get all this backwards. Being a homosexual is not what sends someone to hell just permanently. All sin will send you to hell. It's the fact that they hate God and will never believe on Jesus is the reason why they're doomed. This is not, the problem is not that they are homosexual. The problem is that they hate God. Now, of course, why is it that they are homosexual then? It's a manifestation of what's going on inside of them. It's just showing you what's really happening in their heart. Someone who hates God ends up turning into this person. Now, you say, so then why are they homosexual? Well, point number two is because they have an unclean heart. Look at verse 24. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Why is someone homosexual? Number one, they hate God. But number two, it's because they have uncleanness in their heart. Uncleanness in their heart. Now, go to Matthew chapter 15. We're going to come back to Romans 1 eventually, but if you want to go to Matthew 15, I want to look at a couple more places. Now, let me say this. I believe someone can be unsavable. They could be what you would describe the word as reprobate, and they're not a homosexual. Because ultimately, when you become a reprobate, what ends up happening is whatever uncleanness is inside of you gets manifested and exposed to the fullest extent. But some people are not necessarily like that. Like Judas is not really anywhere in the scripture defined as being a homosexual or anything like that. But we know he's a reprobate. Pharaoh is like that. But think about what is their biggest sin issue? Well, Judas is covetous. Covetousness is his biggest sin issue. So what manifests is the fact that he's willing to sell out the Lord Jesus Christ for money. So the biggest fulfillment of whatever was in Judas's heart gets manifested for everyone. What is Pharaoh's biggest sin issue? Pride. So of course, it gets manifested to the whole world that even when God himself is just making it clear that he's against Pharaoh, Pharaoh still resists the Lord. Pharaoh still rebels against him and is still stubborn against him. So then his sin is exposed for all the world to see. There's another group of reprobates that are just perverted in their heart. They have perverted ideas and perverted thoughts, and then it gets manifested as being what? A homosexual, okay? Now, Matthew chapter 15, look at verse 17. Do not ye yet understand that whatsoever entereth in at the mouth goeth into the belly, and it is cast out into the draught. But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands defile not a man. Now, here's the thing. The Bible's saying that all the sin you commit, it's in your heart. It started in your heart first. And you know, Pastor Bruce Mejia preached a really good sermon in explaining to you how seeds get sown into your heart through thoughts, and then you dwell on them, and then they manifest themselves in actions, then behaviors, and then kind of just defining who you are. Well, there's a reason why a lot of people are homosexual, and it's because they were molested as a child. And they were molested in that kind of way. Now, you say, why is that? It's because that bad seed of all that perversion was planted into their heart, and then it ends up manifesting itself outward through their hatred for God. Whereas not everyone that was molested as a child does that. Some people are molested as a child, and then they love Jesus, and they embrace his grace, and then they're not a pervert. They're not a weirdo. Because we all can have these bad thoughts. You know, no one is exempt from this list. We all have ideas of theft or lying or possibly even murder or adultery. We all have these thoughts. I mean, the Bible says to lust after a woman is to commit adultery with her in your heart. Any man that told me he's never done that is probably a fag. Okay? Yeah. Or you could just say 100%. I mean, I don't know. I mean, there's no way you could convince me that a straight dude never fails in this area. Right? But what does a godly Christian do? When they have these thoughts, they start trying to resist them through the Spirit, and they start saying, you know what? It's not right for me to think all this. It's not right for me to look at this or go here or do this or talk to them. And at some point down the chain, they usually stop that. Or even if they do go all the way, they realize it was wrong, they feel bad about it, and they fix it. Whereas these reprobates, they're on a train where they're going to go through all these stages to the point that they're just doing it all the time and they can't stop it. They're incapable of stopping this wickedness. So it's really dangerous, any of the seeds that are planted into a reprobate's heart, because whatever is planted in their heart is going to come to fruition. And that's why you see a direct correlation. If you look at FBI statistics, if you look at all of just the anecdotal evidence that exists in our society, you will see a direct correlation to children that are molested and then being a homosexual. Now, it's not to say that every child that's molested is a homosexual or will be. It's that people that are homosexual have a high percentage of chance that they were molested as a child. And so in these people's mind, they often will even associate the two, and they'll say, that's the reason why I'm that way. And they don't realize it's because they hate God, okay? So in their mind, they think, okay, well, this is what caused me. I want other people to be like me, so then what do they do? In an effort to reproduce is they recruit through child molestation, and they prey on children. That's why you also see a disproportionate number of child molesters and pedophiles being a homosexual. Yeah. It's not even close. Right. Certain studies will show that it's 30%, 50%, 60% of the child molesters are homosexual. And really, when you're 5% of the population, but you're committing 60% of the crimes, there's a reason, because there's some correlation. Okay? Now, what the world has done to try and hide this fact, because it's so damning to the LGBTQ, is they took certain studies done by weirdos and freaks. What's the name of the stupid freak? Alfred Kinsey, he basically interviewed a bunch of pedophiles in prison and then did all these like statistical studies and created like kind of a, you know, the abstract and all the different documents to basically put forth the idea that if someone molests a child, let's say a man molested a little boy, that they're not a homosexual. It's a different orientation. So then they'll say, oh, homosexuals aren't molesting children because the guy's also interested in women. So therefore, it's actually straight people that are molesting children. It's like, look, if it's a dude with another dude, it doesn't matter what the motivations or other things they like. It's someone being a fag. It's someone men with men. It's unnatural, okay? And of course, they try to disguise this and hide it and say like, oh, well, they're married, so therefore it wasn't really a homo. No, look, a dude with a dude's always a homo, period. You can't like reclassify all these names and, oh, it's a paraphiliac. I don't care what you call it. It's a pervert is what it is. Okay, and these people are committing so many atrocities in our society, in our culture, on a regular basis, and it seems like nobody wants to talk about it. I'll talk about it. You say, why is someone a homosexual? Because they're unclean in their heart. These people are perverts, and they will do all kinds of perverted things. Go, if you would, to Genesis chapter number 13. Think of the thing that they're doing is so unnatural. Look, our bodies are obviously designed. You say, what do you mean it's obviously designed? Yeah, if you're not a God-hating atheist, it's obvious we're designed. You know, we don't have just random body parts floating around. We don't have just like a random T-Rex arm or something that can't really do anything. You know, that would be called a deformity, right? There are people that are deformed, but 90-some percent of us are not deformed physically, and it's real obvious that our body has really clear functions. The thing that these homosexuals are doing is a real clear violation of what your body was designed to do. They're not actually doing good things to their body. They're harming their bodies. What men do with men is defiling their body, hurting their body. They're hurting each other. They're causing themselves all kinds of problems. Their intestines will sometimes just fall out because of the actions that they do. They get all manner of disease and just filth. They're destroying their bodies. They'll even destroy their bodies through medical devices. I mean, right now we have this big thing of surgeries where men and women will go and take themselves to a doctor and ask the doctor to just chop off healthy living parts of their body. For what reason? Because they're a pervert in their mind. And there's something wrong with their brain. And it used to be a clinical diagnosis that if you were homosexual, you had a sickness of the mind. They would say, look, this person has a brain issue. There's something wrong with them. Because someone that wants to mutilate themselves, someone that wants to destroy themselves, someone that wants to cause themselves harm is essentially, by definition, they have a brain problem. Okay? They have a sickness in the mind. Just like, you know, I have a perfectly functioning mouth. What if I said, you know what, I'm going to go to the doctor and I'm just going to get a tracheotomy? I know I can breathe through my nose and my mouth, but I think it'd be cooler to just start breathing through my neck. And I'm going to get some gill slits like fish. You know, fish breathe through their neck. I feel like I'm a fish trapped in a man's body, and I just want to start breathing through my neck. You would say, you're a psycho. And for a doctor to agree to this would be a violation of the Hippocratic Oath. Because the Hippocratic Oath means that doctors are not allowed to allow you to harm yourself, or they won't do harm to individuals. Yet we live in a society today that if you pay enough money, they'll do anything to you. They'll chop off all kinds of parts. You know, if I walked up to a doctor and I said, hey, I really like this cherry tree in my backyard. I chopped down a branch. Will you please attach that to my chest so I can be a cherry tree? You say, you're a brain dead. You have some kind of a serious neurological issue. And what person would want to get some dead tree branch and attach it to their body? You know, that's what these people are doing. They're attaching all kinds of weird body. They'll get skin grafts. They'll take skin from their arm or skin from the back of their leg, and they'll put it on other parts of their body. They're doing just all kinds of weird, bizarro things. Why? Because they're a pervert in their heart. No normal person would ever dream this up, because it just sounds so horrible. It sounds so stupid, because it is stupid to mutilate and destroy your body. Now, Genesis 13 is going to describe the people of Sodom. And look, we're all sinners, okay, folks? No one here is exempt from that. We all commit sin. But the Bible describes a group that's different than just regular sinners. Look at Genesis 13, 13. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. What does it mean to exceed? Go beyond. Okay? It's one thing to destroy your body through unhealthy food, to just sit around and be lazy, to smoke cigarettes, to drink alcohol. Don't all those things technically hurt the body? Yeah, absolutely. You know, that is a sin. But it's different to say, you know what, chop off parts of my body. That's exceeding that particular level. That's way beyond self-destruction. And you know, there's not even a pleasure associated with that. People that drink alcohol get some pleasure out of that. People that smoke cigarettes, they get a little bit high out of it, right? People who eat junk food, that tastes good. I mean, people aren't eating junk food because it tastes bad. It tastes great to them, okay? People aren't sitting around and being lazy because it's terrible. They like being lazy. It's enjoyable to just take an extra nap or lay around or just be slothful. But chopping off healthy parts of your body, there isn't any benefit to that. It's just pure sadistic evil. And these people are pure evil. Go if you would to 2 Peter chapter number 2. 2 Peter chapter number 2. Why is someone homosexual? Because they're unclean in their heart. And of course, you know, most of that uncleanness, it's not fair. But most of that uncleanness is coming from the influences in their life. Why is it that so many altar boys in the Catholic Church end up becoming predators and pedophiles? Because of the Catholic priests in the Catholic Church. Because, of course, who hates God? Who hates God? Reprobates. Now, I said there was one manifestation. I want to go back to a previous point I made. One manifestation of hating God is to go out and show up at our church and just protest and say you hate God. Here's the second way people do it, though, is they change God. They change God. There is a lot of churches today that they've changed who God is, and they worship a false God. The Catholic Church changed God into a works-based salvation God. It's a false God. You look at, there's a school in this area called the Bright Divinity School. It is a Bible college or university designed for the homosexual, basically. They're constantly ordaining homosexuals to be pastors and priests and university ministers and all that all over the country at this college. Why? Because another way to hate God is to change the truth of God into a lie. And they worship and serve the creature more than the creator who is blessed forever. Amen. And they create these institutions they call church, but when they show up, they're not reading the King James Bible and preaching that. They're preaching things out of their own heart. They're preaching their own things. They're worshiping themselves. You know, there was a church that recently had a drag show event at the church in Houston. What? How is that a church? That is changing the truth of God into life. I mean, that's so extreme to think that there's literally an institution that's claiming the name of Christ that's going to have a drag show event. That is so disgusting and filthy. That's coming from the uncleanness in their heart. So you have these two groups. Of course, then when you have a church that's designed based on a false god, most of the leaders, if not all of them, are going to be reprobate. And then what do? They pray on all the children. They pray on all the people. You know, people say like, oh, there's all these churches that molest children. Yeah, absolutely. I agree with that. That exists everywhere. And you know, it gives Christ a bad name. But there's a reason why that exists. Why is it that the institutions that molest children, probably one of the highest institutions is church? It's because being a homosexual and being a child predator is a spiritual issue. That's why. That's why you see so many fake churches are filled with predators. There is a website called like CatholicPredators.org or .com, and it'll show you all of the Catholic priests that live in your area that are already convicted. Let me say this again. Convicted child molesters. And you say, oh, so like they retired? No, no, no. Active service priests, active service archbishops, active service men in the Catholic Church that are convicted child molesters. And you'll think like, oh, is there like one? There's thousands. Go on there. They'll show you the police record. They'll show you the person's name. They'll show you that they're in the, they just shuffle them around. They just shuffle these predators all around everywhere. And you say like, oh man, I don't want to take my kid to church because you're getting molested. Well, a Catholic church for sure. Yeah, probably the worst thing you could ever do is put your children as an altar boy at a Catholic church. That might be absolutely the worst thing you do. Maybe behind that's like Boy Scouts. But you know, I'm sure the Boy Scout statistics would be blown out of the water by the Catholic Church statistics. And by these other fake churches. Why? Because it's a hatred for God that causes people to do these perverted acts. And of course, they love to go and be a part of an institution where children are just supposed to respect and give authority and believe whatever the leaders say. So of course, they love being a pastor. They love being the Boy Scout leader. They love being a teacher. They love being in these institutions. You know, male teachers are often these pedophile predators too, because most men don't want to be around kids all day. That's why I got married and a wife, okay? She takes care of the kids. You know, most normal dudes don't want to be in that environment. You know, as a young adult, you know, I liked hanging around kids and I worked in the nursery and stuff like that. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. I don't want to play with kids, you know, all day. I get enough of that at home with my kids. I want to go do some real work. But why would a man, you know, say, I want to take a lesser salary and not really do any real work and just be around kids all day? A lot of times, not every time, a lot of times it's because they're a predator and they just want that access to the children. That's what it really is. You know, university ministers, you know, a lot of university ministers are predators. They've hurt a lot of children. There's a Baptist church in this area or in Austin, I can't remember, probably for sure in Austin, but that is an open homosexual. Why would you ever let the university minister or the kids minister be an open homosexual? I mean, think about all the seeds that that person's planting. And let me tell you, there's going to be some reprobates in that group. I guarantee it, because it's already a fake church. And what's going to happen is they're recruiting even more and more predators for the future, because they're planting these unclean seeds in their heart. Now look at 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 6. And turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an ensample unto those that after should live ungodly, and deliver just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them and seeing and hearing vexes righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. So according to the Bible, what they did was filthy, it was unlawful, it was just gross. Every Christian was just vexed. The problem is there's one Christian, Lot. And Lot is just like, every day, it's just like, it's so gross, it's so disgusting. Everything about it is unimaginable. But there's children there, and children don't know anything, and they're sponges, and often these predators like to plant a lot of wicked seeds into these kids' hearts. This is why it's so dangerous right now, because Hollywood and Disney Channel and all of these places are trying to just put as many seeds out as possible right now. Why? Because they don't want to have normal reprobates. They want to have them all be like a homosexual reprobate. And so they got to plant all these seeds early so that when that person becomes a reprobate, they won't be a normal reprobate, quote unquote. They'll be a homo reprobate. All of them. Every single one of them will be that way. Because they have to plant this uncleanness into their heart. Look at verse 14. Having eyes full of adultery, talking about reprobates, and that cannot cease from sin, being beguiling unstable souls. So notice, other predators, they prey on unstable souls. All children are unstable. Children don't really know what's going on. They're still going through puberty. They're still confused about everything. They can't understand the world they live in. And so they trick them. That's what it means to beguile someone. Deceive them. And heart they exercise with covetous practices. Look at this, though. Cursed children. It's a sad reality, but pretty much all of these reprobates, all of these disgusting, evil people, they themselves had something bad done to them when they were a kid. That's why they're so unclean. So you know what? If you aren't like that, you should thank your mom and dad that you didn't grow up having all this baggage. Because look, these people, of course, go through horrible life situations, and some people come out of that and get saved, but the ones that don't end up becoming the worst people in this world. You can look at people like Richard Dawkins. Richard Dawkins had said in an interview that he doesn't have a problem with lowering the age of consent. I mean, I don't know what the age was in the interview, but like 13 or 11 or something. I mean, he would bring it all the way down. And then he also says, oh, by the way, I was molested as a child. Why? Cursed children. You know, you look at these people, and in fact, it's disgusting how these predators are bringing children with them to protest churches and do their activities. And oftentimes, you can tell that they're not even their own kids. I've seen them post about it, and they have all these kids. They're like, oh, I really like your kids. They're like, oh, they're not mine. I'm just babysitting them today or whatever. Wow. Think about the seeds that are being planted in these kids. They're being adopted all over the country. There's all kinds of sex slavery that's going on where these people are preying on children. And, you know, they're being molested, they're being raised weird, and they have this uncleanness in their heart, and that's what's really going on. Go good back to Romans 1 real quick. Kind of finish on my last point here. But why is someone homosexual? Number one, they hate God. Number two, they have an unclean heart. And this is the third reason why someone is homosexual is to reveal the wrath of God. Look at what it says in verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth and unrighteousness. Now here's the thing. Every single point of my sermon this morning is from Romans 1. And let's say, hate God. Okay, verse 30, haters of God. Number two was unclean heart. Look at verse 24. Uncleanness of the lust of their own hearts. Third point, to reveal the wrath of God. Look at verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed. I'm not making things up. I didn't just decide, here's what I personally believe. I'm just telling you what the Bible clearly says. Now, what does this mean to reveal the wrath of God? Well, hell is a real place, and that is the wrath of God. But you know, there's other manifestations of God's wrath. And so what God is saying is, hey, people that don't believe in me, people that are never going to have faith, people that are going to go to hell, some of these people are going to manifest for you what the wrath of God is like. What would be something that's wrathful? How about having the most disgusting affections imaginable and mutilating and destroying your body? How is that not the wrath of God? I mean, if I said, you know what, I'm going to press a button, and for the rest of your life, you're going to eat vomit and you're going to love it. You would hate it if I pressed that button. That would be the wrath being poured out on you, okay? That's what he's saying about the homosexual, is because of their hatred towards God, because they have some uncleanness in their heart, God presses a button and says, oh, okay, then you're going to like all that disgusting, evil stuff. All the stuff that you hated as a kid, all the horrible things that were done to you, you're going to now like that and want to do it all the time. And then it even says in verse 29 through 31 that these are all the things that they like, because in verse 32 it says, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. So the Bible is saying, not only will a reprobate, not only will the homosexual murder, kill, destroy, rape, molest, do all this evil stuff, They love other people doing it too. And they hear about someone killing someone and they like it. They hear about a child getting molested and it brings them joy. You know, you think about, like, who are these people that are trafficking all these children? Like, what persons could be so depraved in their heart to see children being hurt and being forced to do the worst things against their will on a regular basis? What person would do that? It's a person that likes it. Something that's so inconceivable to us is something that they literally desire. And you say, this doesn't make sense. Right, because it's a spiritual issue. And God has blinded them. And he's going to show his wrath. Go to Nahum chapter number 1. Nahum chapter 1. Look, the worst thing that you could ever do to me, or the worst thing that could happen to me, would be to be a homosexual. Now, praise God, I got saved, so it's impossible. I can never be one. I can never desire that. I'll never like that. But if you were to say, like, what is the worst thing that could ever happen was being someone being a homosexual. It's the worst. You know, John Chrysostom said that he would rather go to hell 10,000 times over than ever be a homosexual. He said, you could threaten me with everything. You could threaten me with death 1,000 times. You could threaten me with hell. You could threaten me with everything, and I would pick it over being a homosexual. He said, there is no punishment worse than being a fag. Zero. And if you said, hey, Pastor Shelley, we have two doors for you, okay? Door one, be a homosexual, or door two, go straight to hell. I will pick door two. Well, but what about eat extra, door two? Well, what, door two? There is nothing. It is the worst thing that could ever happen to an individual, ever. It's so disgusting. It's so evil. It's so depraved. So if it's the worst thing imaginable, how could you not say this isn't the wrath of God? You say, what's the worst thing that could ever happen to you? That. That's the worst thing. Nahum chapter 1, look at verse 1. The burden of Nineveh, the book of the vision of Nahum, the Elkoshite. God is jealous and the Lord revengeth. The Lord revengeth and is furious. The Lord will take vengeance on his adversaries and he reserveth wrath for his enemies. Oh, I thought God just loved. What does the Bible say? He's reserving wrath for his enemies. The Lord is slow to anger and great in power and will not at all acquit the wicked. The Lord hath his way in the whirlwind and in the storm, and the clouds are the dust of his feet. So the Bible is saying that even though God's slow to anger, you'll never get away with it. There is no sin that you won't have a consequence to. Now, of course, God's taken hell off the table for all of us that are redeemed, but that sin still has a consequence in this earth, and there's still going to be something that you reap from that, and you know what? God especially will never acquit the wicked. Sometimes we could sin, and because we're saved, we're not going to go to hell, and then additionally, we deserve a specific punishment on earth, and then because we pray and ask God to be merciful to us, he actually takes that away and he quits us. David was acquitted of murder. Because he deserved the death penalty. But you know what? He didn't get the death penalty. God acquitted him. Why? Because David repented. David realized it was wrong. David got right with God. And so God said, you know what? I'm not going to punish you the way that you deserve. But notice what the passage says. And will not at all acquit the wicked. So those that are not saved, those that don't seek the Lord's mercy, they will never, ever one time get away with their sin. Never. They will always be punished, and specifically with the wrath of God. Look at chapter, or verse 3, I'm sorry. Let's read a little bit more. The Lord is, oh, I'm sorry, I want to skip down to verse 6 just for sake of time. Who can stand before his indignation, and who can abide in the fierceness of his anger? His fury is poured out like fire, and the rocks are thrown down by him. So it's like, hey, when God gets angry at you, good luck. I mean, you will have all manner of evil and terrible things happen to you. Skip to chapter 3 and look at verse 6 too now. It says this, and I will cast abominable filth upon thee and make thee vile and will set thee as a gazing stock. And it shall come to pass that all they that look upon thee shall flee from thee and say, Nineveh is laid waste. Who will bemoan her? Whence shall I seek comforters for thee? So one of the ways that God pours out his wrath is by making you so disgusting that everyone just is like, ugh, you're so gross. Oh, so awful. I mean, when you see a tranny in real life, you're just like, ah! Yeah. It's just so gross. Yeah. It's so disgusting.
Right.
It's not the Hollywood version of Mrs. Doubtfire where you kind of don't, you kind of can't tell. When you see a tranny in real life, it's real obvious.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh! And it's like, it's ma'am. It's like, it's not ma'am. It's reprobate is what it is. Disgusting. You know, the Bible says in Romans 9 that there's certain vessels that are fitted to destruction. They're vessels of wrath. Now, I do want to explain a few more things. I had some more Bible verses, but I'm kind of out of time. But I want to explain a few points, okay? Why is someone homosexual? Number one, they hate God. Number two, they have an unclean heart. Number three, to reveal the wrath of God. What are some of the lies out there? Oh, it's a normal sin. You already made me nervous by saying that's normal. Okay, but some people say, oh, we're all sinners. We all have different proclivities. Who's heard this argument? Yeah, everybody, okay. All right, let's play this game. Is it a normal sin? All right. Now, there's 335 million people in America. Okay, this is a general population. My personal anecdote is about 5% of people I run into seem to be saved. You know, you knock on 20 doors, talk to 20 different people. About 1 out of 20 seems to be saved, okay? I'm using a pretty conservative number, but that's just generally my experience. Some people might say it's 10%. I don't think anybody would say it's like 50, okay? Especially a soul winner, okay? It's not 50. It's probably around 10 to 5%. I kind of lean to about 5%. If 5% of the population, and I'm using the low number for these statistics, okay? I'm using the more conservative number. 5% saved, then that would be 16.7 million people. Now, according to the statistics online, homosexuals make up 5 to 7% of the population. Again, let's use the lower number, the more conservative number. Let's take 5%. If they're 5% of the population, what is 5% of 16 million? That would be 837,500. If homosexuality was a normal sin, just like every other sin, where it's all the same, we're all sinners, blah, 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 then there would be 837,000 saved, born-again sodomites walking amongst us. And why I bring this point up is because this is what people say. Oh, I know someone that's a homosexual and saved. And this is how they say it. My brother's cousins, dogs, walkers, you know, uncles, brother went to a church one time and heard about someone that's maybe a homosexual that maybe got saved. It's like, wow, that was pretty extreme. So do you actually know them? It's like, no, I don't know them, but I've heard of them. But here's the thing. If this was normal, you wouldn't have heard of them. You would know them. So let me prove to you how this makes sense, okay? Even if one person, even if a few people raise their hand on that, that's fine. It doesn't disprove my point. But let me just ask you, does anyone in here know for a fact, I know someone that's an open homosexual, and yet they believe that salvation is a free gift by faith, they believe on Jesus. Would anybody raise their hand and say they know that person? Okay, we had zero. Even if someone raised their hand, that's okay, because I still don't believe you. But but your problem isn't that there's one person that wouldn't say that. Your problem is that the hands didn't go up all over the building. That's the real problem. Because let me illustrate another fact. 5% of the U.S. population is Asian. Who in here knows someone who's Asian and is saved? Everyone raises their hand. Okay, well, that's interesting. How about this? 5% of the population makes $186,000 or more annually. So who in here believes they know someone that makes more than $186,000 a year annually and is saved? Yeah, hands all over the building, okay? Here's a statistic. 1% of women in the U.S. are over 6 feet tall. Who in here knows a woman that's 6 foot or taller that's saved? Okay, there's less hands, but that was 1% of the population. There was a few hands that went up, okay? Think about this. 3.9% of the population of men is taller than 6'2". Who knows in here a man over 6'2 that's saved? Hands all over the building. 6% of the U.S. population is a heavy drinker. Now, here's the definition. They drink 15 alcoholic beverages in 1 week. Okay? Who in here thinks they know someone that drinks that much and is saved? Hands over the building? What? How come hands are going over the building every single time there's a statistic of 5% or 1%, but then in this one category it doesn't ever exist? Because it doesn't exist. Because it's not normal. It's not the same. It's not equivalent. If it were, you wouldn't have one person raise their hand. Everyone would raise their hand. What I'm showing for you is just the facts and the reality of this world today. It's not a normal sin. Because I could tell you people that I know that have committed virtually every other sin and are saved. I know people. Adultery, murder, theft, liars, they used to be a blasphemer, whatever. And I've heard it. I know it. They're saved. But I've never found that person that's just like, I'm an open flaming homo, but I believe in Jesus. It just doesn't exist. There's a WebMD article that I looked up. It said that being homosexual is not a choice or something that can be changed. Because it's true. Now you say, what do you mean it's not a choice? Being homosexual is not a choice. Hating God is a choice. And when you hate God, he gives you over to a reprobate mind. And yeah, I agree with these people. They'll say, I feel like I just inherently desire this. I want this. I feel this way. You can't tell me who I'm going to love. You're right, I can't. I can't force anybody to love anything. But you know what? If you love vomit, and if you love excrement, and if you love being homosexual, it's because you were given over a reprobate mind. It's like, who's going to tell us what to love? Well, I love children, so I hate pedophiles. You love pedophiles.
Right.
Oh, love is love. Love isn't love when you love pedophiles. Okay, folks? That's the wrong definition of love. The Bible says that which is crooked cannot be made straight, and I agree. A lot of conservatives, they'll say, we need to get these people back into conversion therapy, electroshock therapy. The Southern Baptist Convention and other denominations were really big on teaching all their homosexual population in their churches to get electroshock therapy. They would have individuals come to them and they would say, hey, I struggle with this. And they would say, hey, there's a boot camp out there. Let me send you this boot camp. And they would try to shock them straight. But here's the problem. It never happened. And the statistics on these people that even think they're reformed and then they leave, they always regress back. Because you can't take a slinky and go like, and ever get it back right. It's permanently damaged. It's permanently broken. It's unredeemable. You say, well, you sound mean. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. So if you don't like the Bible, you can go anywhere else. Go if you would to Psalms 139. Oh, well, they're born that way. So lie one is that it's a normal sin. Already proven wrong. By the Bible, saying they're exceeding sinful. Saying it's abomination. By just normal statistics, if you just do random sample statistics, it's easily proven wrong that it's not normal. It's not natural. There's something different about it. Number two lie is that they're born that way. But here's the problem. The Bible proves that they're not born that way.
Right.
Look at Psalm 139. And, we sing a song about this, but the beginning part also debunks their nonsense. Because look at verse number 14. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Every single person is fearfully and wonderfully made. No one is born a horrible person. They choose that on their own. They have bad things happen to them, and they make those own life choices. No one's born hating God. No one's born, the silliness of like, well, we don't want to assign gender because he hasn't decided for himself. That's stupid. This gender nonsense is stupid. You could look up on, I looked at an article, it's just gender identity, top article. And it gives me all these genders. Agender, androgyne, bigender, butch, cisgender, that's just normal. Gender expansive, gender fluid, gender outlaw, gender queer, masculine of center, non-binary, omnigender, polygender, transgender, trans, two-spirit. Now, I'm sure there's way more than this, but this is just in this article. But you know what I noticed every time I looked at these things is they're all saying the exact same thing with a different label. It's like by gender. It's like both. And then they're like gender outlaw, both. Gender queer, both. Non-binary, both. Omnigender, both. Polygender, both. It's like, it'd be like if you said, hey, there's a bunch of different genders out there. Sir, man, male, masculine, gentleman, dude, bro, guy, him, bloke, chap, fellow, fella, gent, hombre, lad, Joe, mister. Look, those are all the same thing, bro. It's not like, man, I'm kind of a dude. You know, I'm a lad. You know, it's like, no, no, no. It's the same thing, bro. And there's only one option. You're either straight or you're not. Okay, if you're straight, then it's male's male, female's female, it's done. You know, why is it that, and let me explain this gender nonsense of why it's always wrong. Every transvestite, why do they always just then pick male or female? Like, if it's a woman, she picks male. Or the male will pick female. Why do they never pick, like, the two-spirit? Or they pick the other pan thing or whatever. It's like, they know inherently there's only two options, and so they just pick. Why is it non-binary? What does binary even mean? Two options. A zero or a one, okay? In programming, this is really important. Zero or one. Every single thing, every technology in this world is based on a zero or a one. Everything. That's why it's stupid to also think that artificial intelligence will ever get free will. It's only zeros and ones, folks, okay? Everything you could possibly do is a zero or one. And what is that, true or false? Everything in this world is binary, whether you like it or not. It's either true or it's false, okay? And look, you're either a male or you're female. Now, of course, there's a third category in the Bible described as a eunuch, but it's not that there's a third gender. It's that they're a sterile male or a sterile female. That's what it means to be a eunuch. But they're not like not a man or not a woman. It's just their parts are undeveloped or mutilated or they have some kind of a bad thing going on in their situation. Perhaps a deformity or a mutation. But you know what? If you chopped off my lower half section, I would still be a man. Because of my DNA. If it's got a Y, it's a guy. Just look at the chromosomes. I don't care if you have 55 X's and one Y, you're a guy. And I don't care if you have, you know, 1,000 Y's, you're still a guy. And if you have zero, if you have 100 X's and zero Y, you're still a girl. Okay, it doesn't matter what chromosomal deficiencies or deformations exist. You know what? A Y is a guy. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, go there, just flip to the right, it's real close. And look at verse 29. I want to show you another verse in this. They're not born that way. In Australia and U.S. and Scandinavia, they've done genetic studies on twins. So there's a twin database registry that exists in a lot of countries, and they looked at identical twins. Now, what you have to understand about an identical twin is when essentially the fertilization process has gone through and you have this zygote or whatever traveling down the fallopian tube, you know, whatever medical term you want to use, basically you have the cells come down. At some point, they divide, and that's how you get identical twins. Fraternal twins is when you have two eggs that basically get fertilized at the same time, and so you have what's called fraternal twins. But an identical twin is the same egg and the same sperm, the cells simply divided. So from a genetic perspective, they have 100% the exact same DNA. It's not like, well, one has this one gene, one has this other. It's the exact same genes, exact same DNA. Yet, you know what they find? They find that when one twin is a homosexual, the other one's not 100% of the time a homosexual because it's not genetic. It never has been, never will be. In Australia, they said that when one twin is, there's 11% chance for men or a 14% chance for women to become the same way. So that's a little bit higher elevation. Tells me the environmental factor is probably pretty strong in determining these people's, what happens to them. But also this article, Dr. Neil Whitehead, a PhD, said, at best, genetics is a minor factor. But then he also said this, no one is born gay. His article just just science and facts. No one is born gay. He said the predominant things that create homosexuality in one identical twin are not in the other, have to be post-birth factors. He says it's just statistically, scientifically proven. No one's debunked this science. No one can debunk it. No one is born gay. No one. Now look at what it says in Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 29. Lo, this only have I found, that God hath made man upright, but they have sought out many inventions. God made us upright. It's us that went crooked, went astray. And of course, once they're that crooked, they can't be made straight. Go back to Romans 1, last place I'm going to return. Point 1 of my sermon of why someone's homosexual, they hate God. Point 2 is their unclean heart. Point 3, to reveal the wrath of God. It's a severe punishment. Now, people say it's a normal sin. No, it's a severe punishment and a consequence to them hating God. Number 2 lie is that they're born that way. No, God made everybody upright, and God gave everyone a chance to be saved. And yes, God loves all the children of the world, red, yellow, black, and white. They're all precious in his sight. And God gave everybody an opportunity to believe in him. But their constant and willful rejection of the gospel of Jesus Christ has led them down a dark road to now they do the most disgusting things as a punishment for their hatred towards God. And number 3 is this. Everyone knows that it's unnatural. Everyone. Now, Romans 1, it said in verse number 26 that what they desire here is a vile affection, meaning that it's objectively vile. It's objectively gross, okay? For this cause, God gave them up unto vile affections. And notice in this passage, against nature. Everyone knows it's against nature. Now, let me explain something. You know how everybody knows this, and you know every preacher even knows this? Is because preachers do not preach against unnatural sins. You don't go to church, and no one gets up and says, all right, guys, you need to cut it off. This week, no more eating and vomit. Who's ever heard a preacher say that? In a serious manner, okay? No one's getting up and saying, hey, don't chop your legs off today, okay? Please stop doing that. Please stop punching yourself in the face. Please stop throwing yourself in the fire. You know, the only reason someone's doing that is because they have a sickness in the mind or they're demon-possessed. It's not because you actually have to preach against that. Your flesh isn't going to do that. No man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, is what the Bible says. Right. So you don't have to preach against unnatural sins. You know what? Preachers aren't getting up and saying to their congregation, please don't molest your children this week. Please don't molest children anymore this week. They're not preaching against that sin because they know that that's an unnatural sin. They don't get up and preach, hey, please stop raping people this week. Because they know it's an unnatural sin. And let me tell you another sin that no one's getting up and preaching against, being a faggot. Preachers are not getting up this week, the church across the street or over there or any of these other Baptist churches that don't like us. You know what? They're not getting up and saying, all right, guys, don't act on those homo tendencies this week. But if it was a normal sin, if it was a natural sin, you would have to. You would have to say, all right, guys, I know that you really desire, you know, we're going to go on the men's retreat, but some of you guys need to control it. It's like I could be locked away with men for the rest of eternity and I'll never even one second even think of that. It wouldn't even be, never. And anybody that did have that is never welcome to attend any of our events ever. If you say, Pastor Shelley, sorry, I have to confess, I sometimes think about that. Leave now. Leave before we accidentally help you fall down or something. That is so gross. Just like I'm never, you know, when my kids vomit, you know, I'm never just like, maybe I should get a spoon, you know? You know what I think? I don't even want to clean it up. I'm thinking like, I didn't notice it. Mom! They need you, you know. I'm not, there's no part of me that's just like, you know what? I didn't get enough at dinner. You know, I smoked a brisket this week, and it was really pretty good. And my kids had some. But, you know, if they tossed that, I wouldn't be like, ooh, seconds. You know, we ran out of brisket. I'm going to get some. It's just not even possible. No one will ever do it. You know, it's like, oh, well, I hope your kids don't turn out gay. They won't. It's not possible. They're incapable of doing that.
Why? Because I'm going to get them saved as a young age, and then it's impossible for them to ever be a reprobate. That's why it's also important to preach your children the gospel.
And to plant that seed in their heart. You know, train up a child the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. But the problem is, some people are trained to be what? A serial killer, rapist, child molesting predator. And then they don't depart from that either. Jeffrey Dahmer, he said in an interview, I think when he was in prison, he said, look, if you let me out, I'll still do it. And he supposedly got saved. But let me tell you how Jeffrey Dahmer got saved. Someone from the Church of Christ came and gave him the gospel and told him if he repented of his sins, he would be saved. And so you know what Jeffrey Dahmer's testimony is? He repented of his sins. But he also openly admits that he would still do it. He would still eat people. That guy's a reprobate. That guy's burning in hell right now. Jeffrey Dahmer is burning in hell. When Elton John dies, he's going to burn in hell for all of eternity. Okay? You know, there isn't this swath, you know, and even if you could say, well, I know someone's cousin's brother's uncle's dog's uncle's friend that is a homo, and they're saved, I believe it. They're not, okay? Number one. But number two, you don't need to find one to prove your point. You need to find 837,000. So go ahead and find me 837,000 of them. When you can't even find one, you already know there's something wrong with this picture. How come every time I've knocked on doors, they never want to get saved, they never are willing to? And every other sin is willing to. Every other situation is. You know, don't believe the lies about this. We need to teach this doctrine to our family members, to our friends, and warn them. You know, there's a great film called The Sodomite Deception. Yeah. It explains a lot of the points I made tonight, or this morning. But I also want you to be aware of the reality of these people, that they're predators, they're vicious, and you want to stay away from them. And look, because they're so dangerous and our society is so brainwashed, you have to confront people on this issue. But I even saw someone posted, there's an Arkansas state senator that had like posted something on Twitter, and he was posting like sharing about this pastor that went to the city council meeting there and said that these people are worthy of death. You know, people are starting to wake up on this issue. You know, the momentum's on our side, and we need to not be afraid of what the people that should be afraid are the people that God will not acquit. God will not acquit. These child molesting predators need justice, and I'm praying for it every day. And I hope that God brings it as soon as possible. Let's close in prayer. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for the Word of God. Thank you for giving us the truth, whether it's uncomfortable, even if it's not convenient to us. I pray that we wouldn't be ashamed of the truth. We wouldn't be ashamed of God's Word. Thank you for enlightening us. Thank you for revealing to us the truth of the world that we live in, the dangerous predators that exist, so they wouldn't let our children or our family be victims, but rather we would be aware of the dogs that exist in our society, and we would stay away from them. I pray that whatever needs to happen, that you would just bring swift destruction to all of these people, that you would please just rid them from our society, that you would open the eyes of our nation, you would open the eyes of our individuals, they would see the abominable filth that it is. They would see that it's a consequence to their soft-hearted, liberal view of God, and they would actually be drawn back to the Lord. There'd have to be a revival in this country where people could see the truth on this issue. And I pray that you would just continue to protect our church from all those that would try to harm it. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
All right. For the final song, let's turn to song number 293. 293 is Your All on the Altar. 293 is Your All on the Altar. You have longed for sweet peace and for faith to increase, and have earnestly, fervently prayed. But you cannot have rest or be perfectly blessed until all on the altar is laid. It's Your All on the altar. altar of sacrifice laid. Your heart, this the Spirit control. You can only be blessed and have peace and sweet rest as you yield Him your body and soul. Would you walk with the Lord in the light of His word and have peace and contentment always? You must do His sweet will to be free from all ill. On the altar you're all you must lay. Is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid? Your heart, this the Spirit control. You can only be blessed and have peace and sweet rest as you yield Him your body and soul. Oh, we never can know what the Lord will bestow of the blessings for which we have prayed. Till our body and soul He doth fully control, and our all on the altar is laid. Is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid? Your heart is the Spirit control. You can only be blessed and have peace and sweet rest as you yield Him your body and soul. Who can tell all the love He will send from above, and how happy our hearts will be made? Of the fellowship sweet we shall share at His feet when our all on the altar is laid. Is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid? Your heart is the Spirit control. You can only be blessed and have peace and sweet rest as you yield Him your body and soul. God bless you. You are dismissed.